It's the 4 o'clock hour on ESPN 106.3, fueled by Celsius, essential energy drinks.
As far back as I could remember, I always wanted to be a...
Josh Cohen, and home team.
This is Josh Cohen and the home team, streaming live worldwide on YouTube on ESPN West Palm Play. Presented by Hard Rock Bet, Florida's official sports book. This is ESPN 106.3.
Because every single day above ground is a good day. It's a good Friday, literally and figuratively. Every day above ground is a good day, especially a good Friday. And happy Good Friday to all of you who observe. It is a Bud's Chicken and Seafood Fried Day on the home team for the ride home as we transition from the Sweet 16 to the Elite 8. Major League Baseball, daytime games, opening weekend. It is, it's that sweet spot of sports that rolls into Final Four, that rolls into Masters, that rolls right into the Stanley Cup and NBA playoffs, that right rolls into the NFL draft. This is that sports equinox, just about, as they call it. Just about equinox.
And for those of you who grew up north of here, kind of got the weather change this time of year as well, maybe go outside in some short sleeves, but... we got beautiful weather 24/7 here in South Florida, so that's not a part of it now. But
I'm confused. What about the weather now?
Well, if you grew up in the Northeast, this is the time of year when the weather changed for the better. When Masters started rolling around, that also is a part of it with these sports starting up.
Too. Something like that. Except for a couple of years ago, me and Dean were up in near my hometown. Actually, in my hometown for a little bit. Our boy Shoeface, who Dean was coaching, Antonio Carlos Jr., he's now a PFL champion. He was fighting in the UFC. UFC was in Rochester, New York. It was May 18th or May 19th. So I go up because I'm going to see the family. I'm going to cover the fights. It's all good in the hood. And it was 29 degrees in the middle of May. In the middle of May, it was 29 degrees. We are live on a Bud's Chicken and Seafood Friday. As I mentioned, Celsius, the 4 o'clock hour. Celsius hit just right today. Late night last night, Miami Open tennis. Thank you, Miami Open, for having us. Tennis continues today, tomorrow, the women's final, Sunday, the men's final. And the Miami Open was like a scene last night. And they were all excited and cheering for Carlos Alcaraz, who wound up getting beat in straight sets. Mike Tyson left immediately. Jimmy Butler left immediately. Jimmy Butler was, I was actually entering back into the 72 Club, the little hospitality zone. And Jimmy Butler was standing there in front of me. And he said to his boy, "Let's go." Like, right as Carlos Alcaraz, he didn't want to stay and watch Danielle Collins play. But I digress. The Celsius hit just right today. Thank you, Celsius. Essential energy, live fit, new flavors. I saw there's a new cosmic flavor coming out shortly. I'm a sparkling watermelon guy. I am a fantasy vibe guy. That's the one that tastes like the creamsicle. Mm-hmm. And I've not yet tried that with a little, you know, a little spiky spike. I haven't done that yet. But it is Mandarin Orange Marshmallow. Celsius has taken over the energy drink market. Thank God. They are everywhere. And also, as you know, Tina has the powder stick form she carries with her. So it's a little pouch of powder like that. If you're watching on our YouTube channel, you see what that is. If you're listening on the radio, that just means a tiny little powder stick. Mm-hmm. So you can carry that in your pocket or in your bag. You can travel with it. Have Celsius whenever you want. Celsius, perfect Friday afternoon. Get it done and evolve and roll into the Friday night because the weekend is upon us. And it is that, you know, that Final Four weekend. Excuse me, Elite Eight deciding the Final Four weekend. This weekend better than next. More games.
Yeah, of course. And we don't have games on Sunday next week.
Four games tonight. The 7:09 window to 7:39. And then the 9:39 to 10:09 window. Of course, tomorrow, just two games. The Elite Eight. Mm-hmm. That's that first half, the first four of that. My bracket is doing better than I thought. And I know that only because, just out of curiosity, I want to see how bad I'm doing. So I opened up our ESPN West Palm group You know, I'm not even logged in. So it treats me like I'm just an outsider who's curious. Like, I can't even see my own picks. You know what I'm saying? From here on out?
Right.
I can't see what my future is. But I'm tied for third, which is crazy because I'm like, I've got to be somewhere in the bottom five. But instead, I'm in the top three, bro.
Yeah, in all those groups that I've joined, everyone's picking UConn. So these games matter a lot more because, like, those final four, it's all UConn, UConn for everybody. So these points matter.
And the problem is, I think I picked UConn too. So there's only so far I can go.
I mean, what are they now? Like, UConn is a massive favorite to take the whole thing. They were at the start of the tournament.
According to Hard Rock Bet, which is the only legal sports book in Florida, UConn is currently plus 125. So $100 gets you 125 back. Basically, even money that they will win the NCAA tournament. They've been winning games routinely by 27.5, 30 points. We're going to get into that right now, as a matter of fact, because last night, play did resume. The Sweet 16 becomes the Elite Eight, and right now we're in that 12 zone. You know, you're not quite 16, and you're not quite 8. You're in the middle. Clemson, upsetting Arizona, 77-72. Take a listen, the final seconds, because this was one of those upsets.
Arizona's got to go quick here. Bradley, why not? Missed it. Clock ticks, and it is going to be the Clemson Tigers out of the ACC headed to the Elite Eight.
Now, we still don't have a buzzer beater. We still haven't had a single game in which the buzzer sounded and a lead change happened. That hasn't happened yet the entire tournament.
Sports gods might be saving the best for last, or maybe the best for the final several games.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, I mean, we need the madness.
Yeah.
The madness comes from those lead changes and those prayers being answered. We haven't had one of those yet. UConn, absolutely rolling again. They win 82-52. They're winning games in this tournament by an average, I think I read earlier today, 27 and change. Like 27.5 points per game on a 30-point win last night, so right on pace with that. Post-game, head coach Dan Hurley talking about his wife. Remember earlier this week, we heard all about how he has to wear his lucky suit and he has to wear his lucky underwear. And they're dragon underwear. What does that mean exactly? Are there pictures of dragons on it?
I was listening. I wasn't on that show. I was listening live from Puerto Rico, and I did not understand what dragon underwear meant.
You were in Puerto Rico. And you were listening to this show.
I was waiting for my Uber, sitting at the curb, listening. Yeah, I was curious.
How cool, though, that you can listen around the world.
It was pretty cool.
That is. But also, you wanted to hear how badly Stone was botching things.
Morbid curiosity, right?
Yeah. And you're rooting against him, too. You're like, please make a mistake. Oh, he did. JC, jump on him. JC, like, if he slips it off. Go in on him. Dan Hurley apparently has to wear the same pair of underwear. He's superstitious about this underwear. So that means he's got to wash them. Well, okay. You can wash them in a hotel sink, but then you got to try. They're talking about how his wife, traveling on the road, has a portable washing machine, a portable washing device. So it's not like a full size. It's like a tabletop little device. Okay?
So like how they did in like the 1700s? Like
No. Okay. Like you buy it on Temu for $8 and you spin it like a saddle spinner.
Add some detergent, I guess?
And of course. Yeah.
All right.
So anyway, during postgame, Dan Hurley decides, instead of giving credit to his players, to bring up his wife and the underwear.
My wife, Andrea, who never gets enough TV time, by the way, it's always others. She's got to get the hand washer going to get these dragon underwear clean for a quick turnaround.
Well, she did say she was going to get it going right after, just for you.
Where do you think the dragon underwear superstition began? Because I'm pretty sure it began last year when he just happened to have them on when they won the first round, and then he wore them for the second round, and then he wore them for the third round, and then he wore them for the fourth round, and then he wore them for the final championship round.
I want to know what cut these underwear are.
What do you think? If it's dragon, they're probably not boxer briefs, right?
Right.
It's probably something sexier than that.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
A hammock? Yeah, a banana hammock.
Okay, we don't really use that term. You know, I was just a little graphic, to be honest.
The name of the underwear on the
right, but what do you think that reference is, jackass?
I don't know.
You don't know? You don't know?
I don't know.
You have no idea what you think that reference is.
They call it undershirt or wife beater. That's just kind of what the name's.
Okay, we don't use that term either for political correctness. What is wrong with you? You just go back to back on politically incorrect terminology that is offensive to many and triggering to some. Coupled after you're talking about a descriptive of a type of underwear, of men's underwear.
I'll correct my political. That's what I'll do. I'll do that from now on.
Uh-huh. Where's my three? Oh, there it is right there. All right. So if they're dragon underwear, they're probably not boxers. And they're probably not boxer briefs. They're probably a bikini cut.
I'm thinking something Michael Phelps
can you
wore.
You just say bikini cut underpants?
You can do that, yeah.
Instead of the hammock term that you used? It's all a right. Big graphic, is it not?
When he emphasizes,
is your father listening right now?
Probably is, yeah.
He's visiting.
He's on his way to Key West. He stopped here on the way down.
Pops, I'm glad you had a good time. I'm glad you stopped by to visit. I'm glad C-Cab brought you to a place that was just the vibes of South Florida, as I understand. Anyway, your dad's listening right now, and he's torn because he's like, don't you dare go in on my son. But at the same time, he's like, Jesus, Christian, really? I raised you better than that. Talking about hammocks. Banana hammock.
What'd you say?
You heard what I said. You heard exactly what I said, you jackass. It's probably, if you must know, it's probably a bikini cut for his dragon underpants.
Speedo, right? Or is that
no,
another?
No, Speedo's a type of swimsuit, dummy.
I was going to ask. I was like, is Speedo also one of those things like Q-tip where it is an object, but since someone...
It's called eponymy.
There we go.
Yes, the term is eponymy. UFC is a brand of MMA. The sport is not UFC. Mm-hmm. Q-tip is a brand of swab. Eponymy is something in which Kleenex. No, Kleenex is a brand of facial tissues. Google. Google's actually become not just a noun, but also a verb.
Yeah.
Right? But it's eponymous. Instead of looking something up, people say, Google it. What if I got Bing? What if I got the old Bing? What if I got Ask Jeeves? What if I've got an old school search engine? What if I've got Yahoo?
You know,
what if I got Yahoo.com? Whatever happened to just going Yahooing things?
So you know the argument between, is it, can I get a soda? Can I get a pop? There's people out there that say Coke for
correct.
Any soda, which
correct.
Is mind-boggling
it's
to me.
It's a regional deal. We've talked about this. We've had this. The good one is Sprinkles versus Jimmy's, because the Jimmy people are really just New England.
Mm.
Right. Every other. But if you got like Western New York, Central New York, pop. But there are also areas that Coke would mean any kind of carbonated sugary beverage. Coke would mean a Mountain Dew. It would mean a Dr. Pepper. It would mean anything. You're right. But it's always regional.
Yeah.
It's always based on the Jimmy's thing. Jimmy's, as opposed to Sprinkles, really just centered in that Rhode Island, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, New England area.
Mm. That makes sense.
Learned that years ago on this show, years and years ago, by opening the phones, which we won't do right now, as a matter of fact. Continuing on, since you're so curious about Dan Hurley's underwear, they're probably selling them. I imagine that UConn is having some kind of a, you know, coach's lucky underwear type fundraiser, buy these, raise money for a cause.
Well, he's a marketable guy. He's got the best facial expressions in the game when it comes to coaching, basketball.
You know who his family is, right? Are you aware of his family?
Who's his family?
The Hurley family. What do you mean, who's his family? Are you aware of the, all kidding aside, his father's a legendary high school basketball coach.
Okay.
His brother, Bobby, was the point guard of those famous Duke teams that went to the Final Four, that won national championships. Christian Leitner, Grant Hill, Bobby Hurley.
Okay, it makes sense now. His face just looks like a caricature. Like when he's mad, he's
very expressive.
He's mad, and you see his eyes dart around like Murph from Impractical Jokers. It's incredible.
When he says, my wife doesn't get enough TV, you know he's being sarcastic.
Yeah.
Right, because they keep showing her in the crowd for reaction. Talking about the fact that she brings the portable washing machine on the road so she can wash his underpants in the hotel room. Meanwhile, congratulations, UConn. You are the next contestants on The Price is Wrong. That's right, kids. It's time to play C-Cat versus you, Home Team Nation.
Let's do it.
Today's edition of The Price is Wrong is proudly being presented by Twin Peaks Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views, 29 Degree Beer, Made from Scratch Favorites. And don't forget the legendary signs on the restrooms that say stand to pee, sit to pee. Twin Peaks gets it.
They get it. They know what they're doing.
Which is why I can attach them to a game that involves a soundbite that says,
The price is wrong, bitch.
Because the bathroom signs stand to pee, sit to pee.
Yeah.
So they can't be like, oh, we're offended by the use of the beep over the word. Gotta know your brands.
I understand.
Gotta know your brands. Yeah. All right, Christian. Here is your question. On the UConn situation, they've dominated. They're winning games by an average of nearly 30 points. Last night, they won by 30 points. How much time, collectively, all together have the Huskies trailed this entire NCAA tournament. They've played now three games. They are 40 minutes each. That means 120 minutes of college basketball. How much time combined in those three games is UConn actually trailed?
6 minutes.
6 minutes. See, I'm a little disappointed. Not just because...
The price is wrong, bitch.
And you can unbeep the, in your case.
Okay.
And when it's directed to you, you can just let that
we'll
play.
Fix that, yeah.
Yeah. I was expecting from you, Christian Cat, something, as the kids say, oddly specific. I was expecting you to say 5 minutes, 47 seconds, probably in a quarter, probably rounded down, 547 maybe.
Did I lose my edge?
Seems so.
No. Dang.
Because 6 minutes is not oddly specific.
No.
It is lower. It is lower. So there's your answer on that.
The price is wrong, bitch.
Try again, my young friend.
How about a minute 37?
A minute for three whole college basketball games?
Playing 16 seed, so I think they led that entire game.
But keep in mind, at the beginning of the game, anybody can lead, right?
Yeah.
In the first couple minutes, you're telling me in three college basketball games combined, UConn has trailed for a total of...
A minute 37.
I'm sorry, Christian Cat.
The price is wrong, bitch.
Try one more time.
34 seconds.
34 seconds is a ridiculous answer. Are you serious? 34 seconds for three games? That is absolutely incorrect.
The price is wrong.
Not even close.
Bitch.
Not even close.
0 seconds.
Did I just tell you it was your last guess? I told you it was your last guess.
Did I take the air out of your balloon? You got a big reveal that I just...
No, not at all. No. You were told you were wrong. You were called the B word four times. It was your last guess. You think they haven't trailed at all? Is that what you think?
Yeah.
You want to bet on that?
No.
But you just said I ruined your big reveal. You said that you ruined my big reveal.
I'm what they call a body language expert. And by the way, your eyebrow twitched when I said 0 seconds. Yeah.
You haven't studied anything in nonverbals, have you?
No.
Or you're just trying to mock me with the science of body language.
Been on the show for about 4 months now, so that's what I picked up from nonverbals.
Right. I think, actually, you would benefit tremendously from studying nonverbals.
As could anyone, right?
Well, can you tell me, a skill set that is more useful in life than knowing what people are actually thinking, knowing what people are actually feeling, knowing when someone is maybe not telling you the truth? Can you think of anything? If you ask people, which superpower would you most want to have? Flying, being invisible, and the third one is going to be reading people's minds. Body language is the ability to read people's minds. Body language is nonverbal communication. Nonverbals is a science. I will send you a link to a starter's guide to nonverbals written by the Bodfather, the man who basically brought the science of body language to the FBI decades ago. Decades and decades ago. They call him the Bodfather, like the Godfather. Mm. Joe Navarro. I know you're not mocking me with the body language, with eyebrows twitching and such.
Oh, not mocking
you. You're trying to? You think it's funny?
Not mocking you at all. But also, I've had a Cuban immigrant as a girlfriend for 7.5 years, and I haven't learned a lick of Spanish. So if you think I'm going to break open a book or break open a pamphlet on this, that's...
Pamphlet? Really? You won't even do a pamphlet, huh?
I probably won't, no. I'm a lazy
person.
How
I know that you're already pretty good with nonverbals?
How's that?
And most people are pretty good with nonverbals. What are emojis?
They are.
What are emojis?
Facial expressions.
Right. And you know exactly what it conveys, don't you?
Yeah.
So a little cartoon thing conveys, which means everyone is pretty good at the fundamentals of knowing what someone is thinking or saying without actually them thinking or saying it.
I think you misuse emojis often, though. You personally.
Yes.
Josh Cohen.
Sure. How so?
You throw around kissy faces where they don't apply.
I throw around kissy faces on tweets.
Text messages. I got a kissy face from you.
Oh, no. That must be lost in translation between my iPhone and your Droid, because I never send a kissy face. I can show you what it looks... I can show you what the message looks like on mine, and I bet you what I sent you is different from what you received.
All right. Were you not voice to texting, and you said emoji with a kissing face?
No.
No, it wasn't that?
No, you can't. If you're voice to text, you can't ever ask for emojis. You can't trust that.
I have a dancing woman emoji next to my girlfriend's name. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll be hey, call Deanna. And calling Deanna with a medium skin tone girl dancing.
So it'll do that. What the phone says back?
Yeah, it'll say back to me.
Yeah, no. If you're doing voice to text, you have to speak very clearly, as if you're talking to your 92-year-old grandmother on her birthday. And you also cannot call for emojis. No, you absolutely cannot. I used to misuse emojis because I weren't sure what which were actually meaning, but that would be like on Twitter. I've never, ever had a text to you where there was a kissy face emoji. If you look at, again, my phone of what got sent to you, bet you the emoji I sent you is different.
Well, look at the break.
I will. Yeah, let's do that. Yeah. Do you have a text in mind?
Yeah, I got to scroll back. That's the thing. Right. I think it was like two weeks ago.
Find it where there's a kissy face emoji.
Oh, yeah. I said they were freaky emojis. That's what I replied back to you. So that was the conversation.
All right. So this is how we'll look it up. Your phone does try to get you killed once in a while. It wasn't that long ago that a girl had texted me and she was like, come see me. Come hang out. And this was maybe, I don't know, 2.5, 3 years ago. And I said, you're too far. I text you're too far. And autocorrect turned far. It changed the R into a T. And just as I was about to hit send, I noticed that it said, you're too fat, which is completely not true.
Okay.
And also completely just brutal. Yeah. But why would your phone, this wasn't voice to text. I text, you're too far. If you look on your keyboard where the R and T are situated, okay? So let's say I'm sending a text right now, and the R and T are next to each other. QWERTY, the very top, as you know. So the R is the fourth letter in from the left. T is the next one over. But I typed, literally, you're too far. And I watched the letter change before my eyes from an R to a T. As my thumb was going to hit send, I did that old where you touch the screen and then you slide it. Because you know if you let go, it's going to send. So you slide it and I slid it to the... And I was like, what are you doing, iPhone? Why are you trying to get me killed? Actual retail price. The amount of time that Yukon is trailed. You said 0 seconds?
Yeah.
Because you wanted to ruin the game and all that?
You were buttering me up. You were making me feel dumb.
The price is wrong, bitch.
Pipe down, jackass. It's 28 seconds. Oh. 28 seconds collectively. You were doing great. You said 30. And I said, nope, that's not it. Or you said 30 or 32.
34.
Right.
34.
But you're doing great. And I said, nope, that's not it. And then you tried to win it. You know, you tried again, even though I said it was your last guess. And then you ruined it because you're way off now.
Hey.
When I say last guess, it means last guess. There's no more guesses after last guess.
Unless I make another guess.
No, you're not allowed. You're afforded only this many tries. It's a game show, Christian. Society has rules. I don't make the rules.
You know, the audience can't, like, forget my last guess. Like, they heard it, so it happened.
Right, but you shouldn't have offered it. You should have more discipline. You just take the L. 34 was close.
Well, yeah, so if my last
guess... Zero is terrible.
If my last guess didn't count, like you're saying, because I didn't get that guess, then I was only 4 seconds off.
But we no.
Six
no.
seconds off.
Right. Well, we should have, but you guessed and then you ruined it. Mm. So, actually, you were way off. You were 28 seconds off.
Hey.
You would have been just 6 seconds off.
Out of how many seconds I could have said?
Well, originally you said 6 minutes.
Yeah.
So that's, what's 6 minutes? 360 seconds. Subtract the 28, and that's 332 seconds.
Hey.
So.
Work in progress.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. We're going to teach you. Don't worry. Back to the body language thing. You would benefit tremendously from the nonverbal, from understanding the body language. You sent me a video of Saquon Barkley in the back seat of an SUV talking about his daughter and how she did not want to go into a diner to get breakfast one day because there was a bird on the wire above the diner, and she said it looked like the eagle, the Philadelphia Eagles, and she has bad feelings about the Eagles because they always beat Daddy's team.
Mm-hmm.
He always loses to the Eagles, the Philadelphia Eagles, and then New York Giants. Now, obviously, he's a member of the Eagles. And then when he told his daughter that he was going to, you know, change teams, that he was signing with the Eagles, she said, does that mean we're going to start winning? Like, we're going to win now? Which is hurtful. I asked you in the text when you sent me the video to notice his nonverbals at the beginning of the video. And I said, what do you notice? And you never replied to that.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't reply to that. I had work to get done. It was outside.
Got it.
Yeah.
And what you'll notice in the beginning is that Mr. Saquon Barkley had his arms holding his arms. Sometimes people will grasp their own elbows. You know, your right elbow resting on your left elbow your right hand on your left elbow and your left hand on your right elbow. That is a self-soothing behavior. That's a self-hug, if you will. In the beginning of the conversation, Saquon Barkley is kind of holding his own arms. He's a little closed, literally. He's closed. And he's almost, again, in a self-soothing behavior, as we call that, in nonverbals. It's a self-hug. It doesn't tell us a whole lot other than he's, you know, being a little bit uncertain. But then when he talked about his daughter, he let his hands go. He opened up. Most body language is, almost all really body language, is comfort, discomfort. Comfort, that's it. Comfort, discomfort. You can't tell if someone is lying to you via just body language. There is no, it's what Joe Navarro calls it, Pinocchio effect. There is no, you know, your nose grows. People always say, well, somebody's lying, they'll look up or they'll look to the, there are behaviors that indicate discomfort. And from the discomfort, then you can identify why it is they're not comfortable in discussing those things or being broached with those subjects. But almost all body language is comfort versus discomfort. So it really simplifies. My advice would be to learn people's hands and people's feet. My biggest, complaint with the Shohei Ohtani statement is that it was given while he was sitting where I couldn't see his hands and I couldn't see his feet. Because faces can lie and faces will lie and we can fake facial expressions. But show me someone's legs and show me someone shaking their leg or the position of their feet or their hands, and that tells me everything as opposed to what comes out of their mouth. So I'd rather watch a press conference, a full-body press conference with the volume off. I don't need to hear what you're saying. I'll go back later, and we'll do that for the deception, deceit, verbal cues. But if you're going based just on body language, what's your stance like? You know, if you're at a party, a cocktail event, and you walk up to someone to say hello to them, when you do, do their feet get closer together or do their feet get further apart? If they widen their stance, they're a little more defensive. They're a little bit less comfortable with you. If you walk up to a woman and you say, hello, how have you been? And her stance gets closer. She even crosses her feet. She's very comfortable with you. These are tells. These are, you know, John Brakus, the old sports science guy on ESPN. So he and I got talking at Ray Lewis's event at like Top Golf. Back during Super Bowl LIV in Miami. And Brakus, I said, hey, man. And we were chatting for a minute. And he was leaning. He was kind of leaning. And his foot was pointed out. And I said, well, I can tell based on your nonverbals that you want to go. So if you got a moment and you want to catch up, let's do that in a bit. And he said, how could you? I said, look at your feet. They're going that way. And look at your lean. Human beings lean into and face the things they like. And they lean away from, create distance from the things that necessarily they don't like or don't want. A baby will show you this with food. Baby will push the plate away, literally push the plate away, as opposed to getting in close. Think about a baby on someone's hip. You know, I remember a female friend of mine carrying her daughter on her hip, and I've never met the baby. The baby's like maybe 2 years old, well, maybe a year and a half. And she's like, say hi to Josh. And the baby's like turning away and, you know, trying to go behind her back, right? Because she's not feeling social. The baby just woke up from a nap. We lean into the things we like. We get closer to. We point our feet towards. And baby will show you with food, you know, even on a high chair. They'll push away the things they don't like. They'll push away from the chair where they don't want to be. These are simple little cues.
Mm. I'm terrified of ever being asked to take a lie detector test. I forgot the name, the actual
polygraph.
Term. Polygraph.
Why?
Because that would make me so uncomfortable that even if I was telling the truth, I feel like when put under the gun, under the pressure of a question asked to me that I know matters a lot, like, where were you on April 2nd? And if I say the right answer, maybe it is an alibi, maybe it is.
Well, there's no right answer. There's just answers that you're comfortable with and answers that you're uncomfortable with. You know, that's what a polygraph does. It measures whether your skin moisture measures cardiac, it measures your respiratory. It's using devices with a control, meaning what is your name? Is your name Christian Cat? Is your birthday July 21st? Are you a New York Yankee fan? Did you commit that crime on April 2nd? It's showing how you, yes, your response with the moisture of your skin, with your breathing, with your heart rate. And then it's comparing it, because we know those are controlled for certain. Your name is Christian Cat. Your birthday is July 21st. You are a Yankee fan. Did you commit this crime on April 2nd? Your reaction, if it's different than the others, well, now there's reason to be concerned.
You see, but the other variable is that asking what my birthday is, asking my favorite baseball team is a lot less important than where was I on this day when this alleged crime happened? So I feel like that, just changing that type of question.
The question is, did you commit the crime? And if you say no, and it shows it clearly, again, polygraph's not admissible in court because it's not exact, because you can beat it. It's not an absolute, but it gives you an idea of where you stand. Mm. You can have someone say, will you take a polygraph? And they say, sure. And then you show them the results. O.J. Simpson, 2 days after his wife was murdered and Ron Goldman was murdered in June of 1994, his lawyer said, we're going to go take a polygraph because we want to know exactly where we stand and where we're at. And that's all, O.J. Nobody needs to know about it. It's not for court. And O.J. got the worst score you possibly can. He scored minus 25-ish. Like, it's hard to do worse than he did. And the lawyers thought, okay, we have to rethink our strategy. That's all. Doesn't mean he did it. He did do it. Doesn't mean he did. It just means that the questions about, were you there? Do you know who killed? Did you kill? Did you have a part of it? He did as bad as you could possibly do. That's the bad news. All right, let's continue, though, because we're in the midst of this March gladness. Shall we? You got me sidetracked five times over.
A productive show so far.
Very much so.
My bad.
Alabama hangs on to upset North Carolina. We have our first number one seed that is gone. Take a listen.
Nelson to put him up three, and he missed it. And it's Nelson got the block. Game over. Alabama. The Sweet 16 is no longer sour. They advance to the Elite Eight for the first time in 20 years.
There were 9/10 of a second left on the clock. The kid missed both free throws to put them up potentially four. You want to miss the second one because the second one means as soon as the ball hits the rim and doesn't go in, the clock starts.
Live ball, of course.
Rebound was caught. Kid turns, tries to throw a full court shot. It gets swatted. And by the way, dangerous to block that shot. Yeah. I'm surprised coach didn't say, guys, if they don't advance that ball, do not do anything, that because you're up two. And if that's deemed a foul, he's shooting three free throws with no time on the clock.
Yeah, there's no reason to defend a three-quarter court shot.
I mean, it's from the free throw line.
Yeah.
So it's three quarters and change. Meanwhile, post-game, head coach of Alabama responding to Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley had called the Alabama team. What? Listen to what head coach had to say.
How about this response?
That was great. I mean, Grant stepped up. We were able to guard Baycott a little better one-on-one. You know, Charles Barkley called us frail. I don't think he was frail tonight. He showed up tonight. But yeah, they stepped up big in the second half.
Charles Barkley called us frail. I don't think he was frail tonight. He didn't say he's not frail. He just said he wasn't frail tonight. And the kid does look frail, by the way.
Yeah, well, you also don't hire Charles Barkley for his in-depth analysis of the season that was in college basketball, right?
I just love that everybody is hanging on what Charles Barkley says and remembering and using his fuel or using his fodder. This is like the fifth time this tournament. Somebody, I mean, here's a head coach with one of the biggest wins in program history. Well, not maybe not. Well, top 12, maybe, in Alabama basketball history. And you're immediately using the opportunity to go, yeah, Charles Barkley said we're frail. He wasn't frail tonight. The kid is a little frail.
That's the same thing with Ryan Day in Ohio State after they beat Notre Dame. He's like, I'd like to see Lee Corso right now. The first thing he said coming off the sideline after that massive non-conference.
He didn't say anything about Barkley?
No, he did not say anything about Barkley.
Yeah, bleep him then. Illinois holds off Iowa State. Take a listen as Illinois advances.
Point two, and it's in the goodie. The game is over.
So we are set in our 12. It's the Dirty Dozen, if you will. NC State Marquette tonight at 7:09. Hard Rock Bet has Marquette as a 7.5-point favorite. 7:39 tonight, we'll get underway with the number one seed Purdue and Gonzaga, the 5. Purdue is a 5.5-point favorite, courtesy of Hard Rock Bet, Florida's legal sportsbook. Then tonight, the late games at 9:39, it's Duke and the other number one seed Houston, with the Cougars a 4.5-point favorite. 10:09 is the late start time for the Tennessee Volunteers, the 2 seed, a 3.5-point favorite over Creighton, the 3 seed. So every one of these matchups, Sweet 16, are 7.5 points or fewer. You don't normally see that because normally there's some wacky upsets.
Right.
And the lowest seed, by the way, is the 11, the only double-digit seed in the entire Sweet 16.
They could be the story of the tournament.
We need madness. So far, it's mildness. We need a little madness. So let's see if we can't get some of that tonight. Coming up, when we return, we've got drama between NFL owners, employees of NFL owners, and people that are actually on the air for a network that is partially owned by that same NFL owner who's not very happy. C-Cat will explain what's going on. Plus, we have a major league professional athlete here in America that was actually not even old enough to drive. We just found out. This is someone who's a professional major league athlete in America. Turns out, not even legally old enough to drive a car.
Man.
We'll explain when we come back. First, though, a reminder, as I mentioned, Hard Rock Bet, Florida's only sports book. And by that I mean, Hard Rock Bet is the only legal place that you can actually bet on sports in Florida, period, barring none. It's that time of year. Your bracket, probably pretty broken. But the good news is, Hard Rock Bet, your first bet is unbreakable. It's unbustable, unlike your bracket. Because if you don't win, you get up to $100 back as a bonus bet to try again. Whatever your first bet is, if it doesn't win, that's okay. That same amount, up to $100, they're going to give you back as a bonus bet to try again. Betting in-game, live, in advance. Betting who goes to the last of the teams at number four. There's a billion options, literally, and combinations. And the best part is you can have fun with baseball right now in the middle of the day. You can get a little action on how many runs a team is going to score while they've got runners on base. I mean, have a little fun with it, please. Download Hard Rock Bet from the App Store, from the Google Play Store, or at hardrock.bet. And quick and easy to sign up, quick and easy to deposit and withdraw. Use PayPal, use Venmo, use credit cards, use your debit card. It's very simple. Hard Rock Bet, Florida's only legal sportsbook. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida, must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling? Call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. Back in moments with the mystery solved of how we got a major league professional athlete in America that isn't even legally, it turns out, we just found this out, isn't even legally old enough to drive. Home team, ESPN 106.3.
It's the 4 o'clock hour on ESPN 106.3, fueled by Celsius, essential energy drinks. This is Josh Cohen and the home team, streaming live worldwide on YouTube on ESPN West Palm Play. Presented by Hard Rock Bet, Florida's official sports book. This is ESPN 106.3.
South Florida, you are immersed in JC and the home team for the ride home, a tradition unlike any other. On a Bud's Chicken and Seafood Friday, crispy, crunchy, juicy, fried golden brown perfection. That is Bud's Chicken and Seafood. More details coming up in a second. First, though, in a moment, we got a major league professional athlete here in America who is not actually old enough to drive a car on his own. We just found this out. I don't even know if this is possible, but we just found this out. We'll get to that, plus the NFL drama coming out of one NFL owner who goes in on a reporter from a league-owned network. This is not good. We'll find out what exactly is at stake here. T-Cat's got details. I'd like to remind you that accidents happen. It's unfortunate, but it's part of life. Car accidents and truck accidents, and sometimes people slip and fall, or they trip and fall. It's no fault of their own. Sometimes you get injured on the job and you got workers' comp issues. Well, you think you're going to deal with it on your own, think again. It's a terrible idea because the insurance companies will never fight fair with you. Call instead my friends Mark Anajar, Glenn Levine, and the offices of Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys because they will fight for you. Because they will fight to get you the maximum compensation that you know you deserve. And because they do not get paid unless you get paid. The consultation is absolutely free. They answer the phone 24 hours a day. And they are committed to helping you take back control of your life. Call 1-800-747-FREE. 800-747-3733 for Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Take back control of your life. Real quick, the drama comes to us from the New York Jets. We got a back and forth, a she said, he said situation. And it involves the NFL Network's Colleen Wolf and the Jets owner, Woody Johnson. There was apparently a report Colleen Wolf made that there were heated words in a heated exchange at the owners' meeting between Jets head coach Robert Saleh, who looks like you rubbed a bottle or some kind of a lamp, and he appeared. He looks like a genie. Does he not look like a genie?
I called you shiny yesterday. He is also very shiny, but he's got the full beard.
He's got like shiny bald head. I've got my face serum, my moisturizing serum on my face, which makes my face very, very shiny. It looks like waxy almost, but he looks like a genie. He's got, you know, that muscular kind of and the perfect shaped head, and he's bald. He's got the big beard.
He'd be really easy to draw, if that makes sense.
Yes, he might be easy to draw. Yes, he might be easy to draw. It's a strange observation, but yes, I think you're right.
He'd be easy to, yeah.
What are you, four? Anyway, the allegation, the report was Colleen Wolf had an insider, she claimed, a reputable source that said heated exchange between Robert Saleh and Woody Johnson. Remember, I said, don't give up just yet, that Robert Saleh is guaranteed to be back as coach, particularly with Bill Belichick still out there. I know that it was a long shot, but I floated that several months ago. It's not impossible. Well, Woody Johnson took to Twitter. Who knew he had Twitter? Quote, all this nonsense about a heated argument between Coach Saleh and me at the league meeting is absolutely false. It is yet another irresponsible report from NFL Network. Please disregard. He said yet another.
Yeah, that's the part that hurts.
He didn't say another. He didn't say A. He said yet another. A means it happened. Another means it's happened a couple times. Yet another means it happens a bunch.
And we all talk about how it happens. Like, it's a known thing that there are irresponsible.
Yet another. Uh-huh. Yet again. Like you the other day. Oh, Josh Cohen up to his tricks. Whatever you said. When I thought you were having a stroke, we were at the ballpark. I was worried about your health and well-being.
Right.
And you said, oh, up to his old tricks. Again, I wasn't up to tricks. I was worried about you. I'm not worried about you anymore.
Nice.
But I am worried about Colleen Wolf. Woody Johnson is part owner of the NFL Network. Doesn't he own 1/32nd of the network? Same. NFL Network is owned and operated by the NFL. Isn't Woody Johnson 1/32nd owner of the NFL?
That makes it tough. League-owned media?
Journalism? Yeah. Imagine that. And imagine people talk about, oh, Commissioner Roger Goodell, why does he get all that money? Blah, blah, blah. He sucks at his job. It's like, dude, imagine that you have to be the one who yells at and disciplines and keeps in check the people who employ you. I'm just saying.
And keep me around, please, because...
Right? Yeah. He's got to punish and reprimand, etc., the people who are like, don't forget you work for me.
Yeah.
It's like HR department, mm-hmm. when HR has to come down on the boss, and then the boss is like, we're going to find a new HR person.
Yeah, that's why Michael Scott hated Toby.
That's not why.
He's corporate. He's not actually us.
Well, he hated Toby because he was a joy killer. He was a killjoy. Yeah. He said he was a robber of joy, robber of fun.
He said he's not really a member of his own family either.
He's not a member of his own family. That's right, because he's getting divorced. Yeah. That's right. Michael Scott was really, really, really terrible to Toby. Poor Toby. Regarding Colleen Wolf released a statement regarding my comments surrounding the New York Jets and the Around the NFL podcast. No, I was not at the annual meeting. And yes, I was told of the exchange between head coach Robert Saleh and Woody Johnson by someone in attendance. Others on site Sunday night have since reached out and described the interaction differently. My intent wasn't to break news. I leave that to the insiders. My sincerest apologies to the Jets organization for the unnecessary distraction during such a crucial part of their offseason. So she's owning it, and she came out with a very sincere apology that the accounts she got turns out are not the same as she received from others.
And she's in a tough spot right now. Not a tough spot, but a very important spot in her career because she replaced Kay Adams from Good Morning Football in the past year and a half, I think.
Colleen Wolf?
Yes, she's on Good Morning Football.
She is?
Every day. And it's also Good Morning Football just wrapped up their time in New York.
Things Today's her last day in New York. They're on hiatus for months.
I don't think she wants to be dealing with this right now.
It's not the time.
That's tough.
No, this is not the time for that. You're absolutely right. We're going to take a break. We're going to hold on to the Major League professional athlete in America that is actually isn't even old enough to drive. I don't know how this, how can you have Major League sports in America and then we come to find out that one of the players isn't even old enough to drive?
Is there fraud involved? Is there like a fake birth certificate that we don't know about until today?
That's a different thing altogether. And we'll find that out, I guess, when we come back. First, though, F1 Miami. Last night I was on the track. I was on the 2024 Crypto.com Miami Grand Prix racetrack.
Did you grab some gravel and shove it in your pocket? It's going to be worth a lot of money someday.
I hate to break it to you, but the gravel, generally speaking, is paved because the cars are going like 180 miles an hour, Christian.
No loose stuff?
No.
No soft shoulders?
No soft shoulders on an F1 racetrack, you jackass. We might break a record today for the amount of time someone gets called a jackass. On the air. I think we're like at 7 or 8 right now.
When you say someone, does it have to be the same person that gets called jackass? Or
yes.
Can I deliver some and it adds up to a grand total?
No. For me to direct it onto someone else.
Okay.
We may shatter a record today. Started with your banana hammock and here we are now.
What?
You heard what I said. And I heard what you said. Tickets are available now for the 2024 Formula One Crypto.com Miami Grand Prix. It's May 3rd through the 5th. That's 5 weeks from today, as a matter of fact. Mm. 3-day event filled with art, music, world-class cuisine, celebrities, parties, and of course, 3 days of the best racing in the world. It is the season's first sprint race in the Americas. Max Verstappen, Lewis Hamilton, all the legends. Choose from a variety of ticketing options, hospitality options, grandstand options, with fantastic track views that put you right in the center of the action. You can get 3-day passes to go the whole time if you so choose. Join us for the 2024 Formula One Crypto.com Miami Grand Prix, May 3rd through the 5th, a one-of-a-kind event showcasing the incredible, and it is an incredible sport of F1, reflecting Miami's unique position as a global curator of cultures. Tickets at F1MiamiGP.com. F1MiamiGP.com. So as you are entering and exiting the Miami Open for tennis.
Yeah.
You have to cross parts of what is going to be the racetrack.
That's awesome.
It is. Yeah, I was walking on it last night, and I was like, man, this is kind of dope. Kind of dope just to be on the actual track itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because you won't be able to do that when the race starts.
No.
I don't know if you know that or not.
They advise against that, actually. Signs up.
They do. I need you guys to go on YouTube, open it on your phone, punch in ESPN West Palm. Tell me if you think C-Cat's outfit today reminds you of an 80s detective named Magnum P.U., not Magnum P.I., but Magnum P.U. Tom Selleck used to wear the navy blue Detroit Tigers hat, and then he would have the Hawaiian shirt. You have a navy blue Players Championship hat, and you have a sweet, and that is a sweet pink Hawaiian shirt. I would rock that shirt. I would love a blazer, that exact print. That is a dope shirt.
Sure is.
Dope shirt for a dope guy.
$11.
$11 for the shirt?
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely getting one. And we're going to wear them on the same days.
Yes.
Wait and see. I want you to go on YouTube and tell me what, and also if you have other character names, the idea is that he's a former washed up cop who's now a private investigator. I said Magnum PU because it's like Magnum PI, but PU meaning you smell.
Floral Fridays. How does that sound?
Bud's Chicken and Seafood Friday. Sounds better to me. The home team is back in moments on ESPN 106.3.
It's the 4 o'clock hour on ESPN 106.3. Fueled by Celsius. Essential energy drinks. This is Josh Cohen and the home team. Streaming live worldwide on YouTube on ESPN West Palm Play. Presented by Hard Rock Bet, Florida's official sports book. This is ESPN 106.3.
That would be the legendary Earth, Wind, and Fire. They should put emphasis on it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not Earth, Wind, and Fire, but Earth, Wind, and Fire. Earth, Wind, and Fire was a featured Sunfest artist as we count it down to Sunfest 2024, 40 years under the sun, May 3rd through the 5th, in the year of 2002, Earth, Wind, and Fire rocked Sunfest. I think they did it again since, at least one more time, but for certain in 2002. This year's lineup is extraordinary, and the party is phenomenal. It's my favorite event of the entire year, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 5 p.m. to 11 on Friday, noon to 11 on Saturday, and noon to 10 on Sunday. This year, acts like Friday night, Nelly, Shaggy, Billy Idol, The Fix, Saturday, Cole Swindell, Dylan Scott, The Revivalists. Sunday headliners include Revolution, Modest Yahoo, Third Eye Blind, Dashboard Confessional, and many, many, many more. Boys Like Girls, I know you were excited about that.
They're a really good band.
Ellie King, Dylan Scott. Get your tickets and passes now. You can get 3-day. That's the best value. And by the way, Palm Beach County residents, special going on. Go to sunfest.com. Take advantage of that before it expires. Sunfest.com for all ticketing options, including VIP options. It is the premier music festival along the waterfront, downtown West Palm. 40 years under the sun. Sunfest, May 3rd through 5th, here in West Palm Beach. How are we on time to explain the story of the Major League professional athlete in America not old enough to drive?
We got 3 minutes.
Take a quick listen as Bleacher Report will explain to you how this kid is an ML player, ML meaning Major League. You'll hear the rest of it in a second. And not quite able to legally drive throughout this nation. Listen.
Julian Hall of the New York Red Bulls just turned 16, and it's a pretty big deal. Turning 16 was sweet for Julian because he now has one less problem. New Jersey child labor laws. The law states that nobody under the age of 16 can work past 6 p.m. And with the schedule of MLS games oftentimes starting after 6, Julian's season debut was delayed until a March 23rd match against Inter Miami. Because the Red Bulls were able to find a way to make everything work. The game started at 2 p.m., so Julian was able to play. Julian's birthday was on March 24th, officially making him 16. So now he should be getting a lot more time to play the sport he loves with the pros, even after 6 p.m.
In some states, you can get your permit at 15 and your license at 16. In other states, you get your permit at 16 and then you get your license after you pass accordingly. This kid couldn't do his job. He's playing for the New York Red Bulls and they play in Jersey. And because of child labor laws, he's 15. He's a Major League Soccer player and he can't play in games that start if the game continues past 6. So the 2 p.m. game he could play. But if the game's at 7 o'clock at night, he's got to sit on the bench.
I totally relate to him right now because when I was in high school working at the go-kart track, I couldn't work a closing shift. They wouldn't schedule it for me because I was too young.
Very similar. Yeah. You at the go-kart track and this kid, a Major League Soccer player. Very, very similar, C-Cat. I'm glad you made that relatable for yourself.
Yeah, cut from the same cloth.
Yeah, without question. We come back. It is the cocktail hour. And when we get into that, Mad Dog is big mad again about the NFL schedule. Plus, we just found out what the NFL is planning to do on Christmas. And more than just playing these games, this is going to make some people, I imagine, pretty unhappy. We'll get into exactly what that is about. And also, I get quizzed. It's Quiz Kids, NFL edition on this Bud's Chicken and Seafood Friday. C-Cat has a shot at me, and then I take it back and put him under the line on this Good Friday. And that'll pertain to C-Cat's quizzing. You'll understand when we get into it next. Cocktail Hour on tap. It is the home team for the ride home on ESPN 106.3.